You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
What is up, Wisconsin and beyond? My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy Monday, everybody. I hope your week is starting off with a bang, a good bang. That is certainly the markets banging, clanging, and falling again today. Markets will be closing on the East Coast here in about an hour. We'll keep you updated as to what today's fluctuations are. When those finals numbers hit about halfway through this show this afternoon, we got great guests for you today. At 2:30, I'm going to be joined by Bill Keaton. He's the Chief Advocacy Officer at Vivint Health. He's spent the last 20 years of his career helping Vivint grow into the second largest provider of HIV prevention, care, and treatment services in the nation. This is important because Donald Trump's unthinking, haphazard, cruelty by chaos cuts to the Centers for Disease Control also are resulting in devastating cuts to the CDC's HIV prevention division. We're going to talk to Mr. Keaton about that at 2:30. And at 3 p.m., we'll finally have back on the show one of our great guests from the Centers for American Progress Action Fund. We're going to be talking about tariffs as the bloodletting continues in global markets today. We'll be joined by Emily Gee. She is the Senior Vice President of Inclusive Growth at 3 p.m. But let's start today off talking about two things. One, did you go to a hands-off protest? I went to the one in downtown Milwaukee, which was fabulous, absolutely packed. My guesstimation is that there were easily over 5,000 people there. I've been to a number of protests over the years. This one stood out. Not a rally for a particular candidate, right? Not something that had some splashy headline singer or politician. This was incredibly, you know, from the ground up, grassroots mobilization. Somewhere north of 1,200 of these hands-off protests occurred across the country. I'm seeing estimates of north of 2, maybe 3 million people this past Saturday stood up and said, cruelty through chaos and incompetence is not what I voted for. We do not support this president's actions. Were you there? What did you think? What was the vibe if you checked out one of these protests? 855-752-4842. And regardless of whether or not you were there or not, here's my question. Do the protests make any difference? 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. My folks, I talk about them all the time on the show. They're in their 80s. They are fortunate enough to be in Tucson, Arizona right now, escaping the cold for a wee bit of time. My 80-year-old parents, 80-plus-year-old folks made signs, hands off Medicaid, hands off Social Security, and went out in nearly 90-degree heat in downtown Tucson for 3 hours, stood and held their signs to protest what this president is doing. I think when you're starting to see the 80-year-olds braving the heat, you know it is for real. My parents said there were thousands out in Tucson. They were getting horn honking, lots of cheers and support. It was an incredible turnout in downtown Tucson. What did you think of the hands-off protest? Were you there? Regardless of whether or not you were there, do you think they make a difference? Will they start sending a message to Donald Trump and our billionaire overlord Elon Musk that we do not want cruelty through incompetence and chaos, that we don't want economic pain that Donald Trump said nothing about during the campaign because he can't figure out what the point of his tariff policy is? 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. You can join us via phone or text. You can always go get the Civic Media app wherever you get your app stores. It's free. That's got a little button after you select your favorite station. I come to you from 540 AM WAUK every Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. Got one of my favorite texters, Steve from Milwaukee, on the text line texting a photo of the world economy as an airplane nosediving. Estimates are some $9+ trillion in value being lost. Here's the subsidiary question. Roughly less than half of Americans actually own some stock or equity or are invested in the markets in a meaningful way. So does this matter? Does the tanking of the economy matter right now? Or are people like, oh, well, maybe eggs will get cheaper. I keep waiting for them. I mean, I recollect back to when Donald Trump had just got elected. I had a bunch of my conservative friends telling me how great everything was going to be, how rich we were all going to be, how cheap everything was going to be. How's that going for you? I heard someone the week before Donald Trump's inauguration said to me, I'm going to wait until after he's sworn in to go buy my gasoline and go to the grocery store because everything is going to be cheaper. No understanding of how any of that actually works. How is that going for people? 855-752-4842. Join us on the phone or text lines. Remember, if you are a new caller, please do let Cal know he's answering the phones for me today. New callers, women, vets, conservatives, you go to the front of the caller line. Let's hop right in here. The water is warm, everybody. 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Ben from West Bend. Did you go to one of the hands-off protests? What did you think? And regardless, do the protests matter at all?
I went to one in West Bend for a little bit. It was like maybe 30, 40 people. You know, it was a lot for West Bend. You know, it's very.
I was going to say for West Bend, I'm going to give that an A plus.
Yeah. The other hand, though, you know, I think it's going to rattle a lot of cages. The people that we voted, that the Republican, it seems like this vicious cycle we're in again. You know. From Fairless Bureau's Day Off, you know, we heard that, you know, it's just like this constant vicious cycle. You get Dems in to fix it, and then we vote in Republicans to screw it all up again. It's tiring. And I think this is what people need to realize.
Yeah, Ben, I hear you. I had this exact conversation with a friend of mine. I've asked various guests on the show this from time to time. Doesn't it seem like there is a pattern? Democrats come in, we do the responsible thing. You know, we get the economy going. We cleaned it up after Joe Biden took over in 2020, helped bring the American economy back, roaring, the best, the envy of the world. Donald Trump comes in, breaks it again, and then a Democrat will come back in and fix it again. And then the Republicans and MAGAs will take credit for the good things about it, slam the heck out of the Democrat for the things that aren't working well for the middle class, and then break it all over again, and largely break it. When I say break it, I mean break it to the pain of the middle class and working people, but break it in a way that often results in massive payouts, massive wealth being again sucked up by the top 0.001%. What is the deal with that? Why is this acceptable? We got Diane, a new caller. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, Diane. What do you have to say? Did you go to one of these protests? And regardless, what do they make any difference?
Absolutely. I'm 74 years old. I went to my first protest over the weekend here in Madison. I was just so impressed with everyone. We were respectful. We were loving. No violence, not a hint of violence. The cops were in their cars only because they were, you know, blocking off streets so we could, you know, walk down the streets. And I'm like, oh, I wonder if this is happening everywhere. And it, from all I could hear, except for one little incident, I think somewhere in Indianapolis or whatever, we were all civil. And that's, I don't know. I just was so excited to be there. And I don't know if it's going to have an effect, but I hope it does. And I don't think we're done yet. Aren't there going to be more marchings, more hands-off marches?
Yes, I've been hearing that, Diane. Thank you so much for calling us anew. Please do call back. That's Diane out of Madison. You two can join this fine program, 855-752-4842. We got some callers lined up. We're going to get to those. Wanted to share a new texter on our text line said this: I think any other president would take these protests very seriously, but our current one couldn't care less. Doesn't bother him one bit. Probably doesn't bother his cult either. Anybody remember, you know, Nero fiddling while Rome burned? You get a little of that vibe here. The man's off golfing over the weekend as the world economy is lit on fire and nosediving. Can't be bothered. Can't be bothered. You would think, you know, I watched some of the Sunday talk shows. I thought, okay, if I'm in the White House, if I want to give him any credit at all, what I'm going to do this weekend is dispatch the Scott Bessents, the Howard Lutnicks, the Peter Navarros. I'm going to call up CEOs that are on Team Tariff Trump, the terror of that, ripping apart the middle class, that at least we can get everybody on message, tell everybody what the point of this is, and tell everybody what the plan is. Did that happen on the Sunday talk shows? It most certainly did not. The three guys, like his trading advisor, the head of the Treasury, and I'm forgetting what the heck Lutnick's official job is, but like Navarro, Bessent, and Lutnick, the three of them every other day, they don't even say the same thing when interviewed. Bessent asked, hey, are these tariffs permanent? Should businesses just assume that these are going to be in place for a long time, or is this negotiating tactic? I don't know. Lutnick asked the same question. Navarro asked the same question. Oh, no, these are permanent. You should plan a They don't even know which hymnal to be singing from. Nobody knows the point, even the people in the president's inner circle. If you are on the line, stay there. Join us via phone or text line 855-752-4842. Were you at the hands-off protest? Do you think they're going to make a difference? We discuss here, is there a plan? What is the plan? What is it going to mean for you and your family? We continue this great discussion on the other side, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. I'ma keep on running because the winner don't quit on themselves.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I feel the earth moves. The earth moves, policy changes, our leaders respond, but we've got to use our voices. By some estimates, around 3 million, my friend Cam from Appleton texting me on our text line that over 5 million Americans showed up this past Saturday to send billionaires like Elon Musk and Donald Trump and Howard Lutnick and the whole lot of them a very clear message. You do not get to experiment with the world economy and the federal government at the expense, literal expense, cha-ching, cha-ching expense, but also the expense in terms of our lives, our quality of life, the quality of our health care, our education systems, our veterans benefits, all of that. You do not get to jimmy around with this as if it was some plaything for the billionaire class. That's what I feel is going on. They're like, oh, we don't have any plan. We'll just break it a little bit, see what happens. We're billionaires. We're fine. It's fine if the regular people, you plebeians, get hit with a bunch of pain. And I had this thought on Friday afternoon. very clear. I was like, oh my gosh, the next thing that the MAGAs are going to do is start name calling. They're going to start making fun of people who are outcrying, who are criticizing the Trump administration for all of this economic chaos. They're going to start calling people names like, oh, you're a wussy if you can't put up with a little economic pain. Tell that to a senior citizen that's on a fixed income, whose only income might be their Social Security check. They're going to start name calling. Oh, you're not a real patriot. Just put up with a little pain. It'll be fine. You wuss. That is coming. That is coming. We have to stand up and say, causing middle class people intentional harm, both economic and about the quality of our life, and then calling people names when we complain about it is not okay. But that's coming. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Ralph from Milwaukee, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. Did you check out one of the protests this past Saturday, and do you think they'll make a difference?
Well, I was at Saturday's event here in Milwaukee, and I got to admit that when the speaker was speaking, it was tough to see them because the signs were held so high, you could only hope that the sound system was better.
Yes.
And I got to admit that my sign was one of probably thousands that were there. And do I think it's going to make a difference? Well, I don't know if it'll make a difference in Washington, D.C., per the current administration. But I would hope it would affect our congressional representatives. Now,
yes.
I happen to be in Gwen Moore's district, and I know that Mark Pocan, the two Democratic cities that those two people cover, Milwaukee and Madison, were well represented. But it's the rest of the state that I would hope would kind of wake up to some of the stupidity that's going on. And it's a situation where I'm looking at, the Commerce Department, by the way, is the gentleman's department that he's responsible for.
Yeah, Lutnick is Commerce, Bessent is Treasury.
Right. And so I was looking at things that the federal government does that are services, like the National Weather Service, the U.S. Postal Service. It's a service, and it's something where when you gut those with the poor service that you're providing now and you're getting everybody mad at them, it's something where they're going to use that as a justification. Well, that's why we want to privatize them. And
yeah, privatization isn't the answer here. Like, public education isn't a for-profit business. Like, that's not what... Delivering our mail is an essential thing, right? Like, that's what Ralph is getting at. Couldn't agree with you more. Thank you for calling, Ralph. Keep participating. Susan from McFarland, you're on the Maggie Dawn Show. What do you have to say?
Oh, hi. Well, thank you for taking my call. That was quick. I was at the one in Madison this weekend. It was an amazing opportunity for everybody to talk about what was on their mind, and it was an amazing experience. But also, I have called for the last 2 weeks every senator in the Senate, each of their offices, either leaving a message on their voicemail or with a staff member, talking about the things that are really important. And right now, it is the illegal deportation of people to El Salvador. And this week, it's the Fed and the FDIC that are coming next. So for me, it is also doing two things. It takes me about an hour and a half, but I call everybody and I leave a message or I talk to somebody and tell them I'm upset and the reason why I'm upset and asking them to hold the line.
I love it, Susan. Keep picking up the phone. Keep dialing. Keep making sure that your voice is getting heard. One way to do that is on this fine program, 855-752-4842, 855-CIVIC. Jean from Eau Claire. Hello, my friend. What do you have to say this afternoon?
Oh, I think that these protests are outstanding. They're visual confirmation that Americans do not appreciate what Trump's doing. It shows our allies. It shows others who don't quite know how they feel or who are afraid. And it shows that that we don't agree with what they're doing here and that Americans still want democracy. They still care about fellow Americans. And I'm so proud of them. And I learned years ago that the way to get your representatives to pay attention is to show up in groups. Otherwise, they make excuses for it or say, I didn't hear from anybody. And I'll tell you something. Today, I started calling some of ours from Wisconsin, and they were answering their phones with the exception of, you know, Van Gordon. So anyway, Van Orden, thank you very much, and keep up the great work. I'm so proud of everybody.
Thanks so much, Jean. Always lovely to hear from you. Here's what I noticed at the protest that I went to in Milwaukee. The age range was enormous. People had their kids out, babies in strollers, elderly folks in walkers with canes in wheelchairs. I saw disabled folks. I saw black and brown folks. I saw LGBTQIA folks proudly flying their flags. I saw people with American flags reclaiming what patriotism means. And you know what I felt amongst those people? Solidarity, friendship, kindness, a general spirit of community. I didn't feel like I was about to get jacked in the back of the head by somebody who might be a little ticked off if I might disagree with them. We're going to leave this here for just a few minutes. We're going to bring on Bill Keaton, Chief Advocacy Officer at Vivint Health. We're going to rejoin this conversation on the other side. First, we're going to talk to Bill a bit about what Donald Trump's draconianly cruel cuts to the CDC means when it comes to AIDS prevention. Right here at home. You're not going to want to miss that. We're caught in a trap. I can't walk out because I love you too much, baby. Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're rejoining us, my name is Maggie Dawn, host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show, here on the Civic Media Radio Network, where we aim to bring you real news and great conversation. We got one of those great conversations for you this afternoon. My next guest, his name is Bill Keaton. He is the Chief Advocacy Officer at Vivint Health. Bill has dedicated the past 20 years of his career to helping Vivint Health grow into the second largest provider of HIV prevention, care, and treatment services in the nation. He knows a lot about our next topic, which is, and frankly, hasn't gotten, I think, a lot of mainline headline-making attention in the press. And it is absolutely essential that we give voice to the implications of these cuts. We have heard about Donald Trump's taking a chainsaw to all kinds of departments across the federal government. We know he has slashed funding and slashed employees at the Department of Health and Human Services. We know that he appointed a vaccine skeptic and, frankly, a guy that doesn't know much at all that is reliable or actual verifiable accurate information about healthcare, vaccines, and the like, that is JFK Jr., to lead it all up. We know that he is cutting the budgets at the Centers for Disease Control. What does that mean when we face the next COVID? But many of us, if you happen to be over the age of 40, also remember the onset of the AIDS epidemic and what the sheer costs in millions of lives here in the United States and globally meant when the Reagan administration cruelly looked away and refused to use the resources we have as the United States government to help address that epidemic then. My next guest will help us understand what Trump's draconian cuts to not just DHHS, not just the CDC, but specifically also cuts to the Division of HIV Prevention within the CDC might mean for your family, the United States, Wisconsin, and global health more broadly. Thank you so much, Mr. Keaton, for making time for us. This is such a critical issue. Millions of people. Let me just start here, Bill. Am I right to say that when we look at the funding cuts and the employee cuts, not just at the CDC in this specific division of HIV prevention, but also in USAID and other related departments, that it is predictable that tens of thousands of people will die because of these kinds of cuts.
Yeah, thanks, Maggie. I think you're spot on. That's the biggest fear that we have right now, is that what we know is that today HIV is a preventable, treatable chronic condition. And without the resources that are made available to clinics and organizations like mine here in the United States, but to agencies across the globe, that we will unfortunately see needless deaths related to HIV, deaths that are completely preventable. And we'll see additional transmission of HIV, to new individuals that, again, is completely avoidable. And furthermore, I would go to say the programs, the interventions, the investments that the federal government is making in HIV prevention, care, and treatment here and across the globe, they're working. We are seeing less people die of HIV every year. We're seeing less new transmissions and diagnoses of HIV every year. What we're doing is working. So I think the biggest question that a lot of us have on the ground is why the broad-based whole-scale changes to a number of programs that are having tremendous benefit here in the United States and across the globe.
Yeah, there's so many different angles on this, Bill. We can talk about it from a public health perspective, right? And that when we address communicable diseases, either in these acute circumstances like COVID outbreaks, or where we have effectively put in place the systems of prevention, right, and treatment, so that these aren't claiming lives, these kinds of communicable diseases aren't claiming lives unnecessarily. We can look at the measles, right? Like issue after issue, communicable disease after communicable disease, and the U.S. stepping back, not just funding, but the very systems architecture globally and within our country is going to cost lives in a very real way. And we haven't even talked about the misinformation and lies that get spewed by so many folks. What, focusing again in your specialty, Bill, what is the cut specifically to the Division of HIV Prevention within the CDC?
Yeah, so one of the things that's probably most challenging right now is that we haven't seen any specific proposal in terms of grant dollars that would be reduced or eliminated. We take that as a sliver, a glimmer of hope and good news for now in some of the documents that have been put out by the administration and HHS related to this, that they don't anticipate any additional cuts beyond what they've done to eliminate 20,000 government employees, many of whom directly support the activities that we're engaging in. But there's a great unknown. Who is going to be left within the administration and within HHS to make sure that the grant dollars that the administration is indicating that they're going to continue to deliver to our communities, who's going to make sure that those programs and services are driving the benefit that taxpayers can rightly expect from the investment that they're making? So we are hopeful that additional cuts aren't coming. But we have a tremendous amount of uncertainty as to who's going to be left to make sure that the checks get cut for the work that's happening, to make sure that the applications are getting processed so that folks can benefit from the programs and organizations like mine can continue to deliver the care and treatment services that, make no mistake about it, are literally saving people's lives. What we know today is that HIV is treatable, but there are tremendous amount of challenges to that treatment being successful. The cost of the medications, we're talking about medication regimens that cost between $2,000 and $3,000 a month for individuals. We know the average lifetime costs associated with HIV care and treatment just for the management of that specific condition are about $500,000 per patient living with HIV. We have to make sure that those resources continue to get out to the communities and to the organizations that are doing the care. Otherwise, we will see folks unfortunately get sicker, which is something that is completely avoidable. In fact, what we know today is that the treatment programs that we have, the really expensive medications, the doctors and the medical science that has just been remarkable in terms of advancement, we can help people achieve viral suppression, which means they are physiologically unable to transmit HIV to somebody else. That's a tremendous, not only public health benefit, but individual health outcome and chronic disease management program that is helping to stop the spread of HIV, which is something, again, that we should all be celebrating. But there's barriers to that. It's not just the financial, but unfortunately, HIV is a disease that thrives in areas where there is poverty, where there is lack of access to healthcare, where there are other socioeconomic challenges that are that will prevent people from accessing medicine and accessing doctor's visits. And that's the beautiful thing about what we've developed in the United States over the years. The Ryan White Care Program, the CDC prevention dollars, they're all designed to help alleviate and eliminate those barriers. It's one of the great testaments, going back to Orrin Hatch and Ted Kennedy, when they created the Ryan White Program in a bipartisan, I would say nonpartisan way, 40 years ago.
Yeah, folks, if you're just joining us, our special guest this half hour is Bill Keaton, Chief Advocacy Officer at Vivint Health. Vivint is the second largest provider of HIV prevention care and treatment services in the nation. According to the Wall Street Journal, Donald Trump's proposed budget includes $1.3 billion in cuts to funding specifically allocated for HIV prevention efforts within the CDC. That's what we're talking about. Excuse me, this afternoon. Bill, this is one of those things, and I see this again and again and again in different sectors that have been targeted by Donald Trump's, frankly, just across the board slashing of budgets and employees. And that is, well, you may have, for example, lopped a couple of zeros off of a budget line item, but in the medium term, and in the long term, it is actually going to decrease overall health outcomes and will end up spending more. And I don't care. Again, we can look in different sectors. I want to ask you about that. But so many other places, it's like, yep, you may have saved money in this budget cycle. But to eventually redress the wrong that unthinking, unintentional cut will cause will end up costing way more than the original budget dollars that you may have saved. Are we looking at similar impacts here, Bill, when it comes to public health and AIDS prevention and treatment specifically? Maybe these cuts save a little bit in the short term, but we're going to end up spending and losing so much more, spending so much more in the medium and long term.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Maggie. I spend a lot of time working with folks from across the aisle as it relates to this. And one of the things that we start out the conversation with is just establishing some shared goals or principles. And if we're going to start with the goal or principle that all life has value, which I think is a pretty universal one to accept, then we recognize that preventing disease within all life that has value is a next laudable and noble goal. Unfortunately, that costs money, and we can either invest here in the state of Wisconsin. We receive about $8 million from the federal government to do HIV prevention care and work. That's supplemented by dollars from the state government. If we start taking those out, what we know is that folks will still seek out and find ways to get access to their healthcare, and they should. But getting your HIV care and treatment in a hospital setting, especially an emergency room or an urgent care setting, is inefficient and a lot more expensive than effectively managing it outside of those settings. And what we know is that if folks lose access to programs like Ryan White or Medicaid, for example, someone will pay for that care. And that care will either be supplemented again by people who are privately insured. It'll be supplemented through charity care programs. It'll be written off by hospital systems that will find other ways to get those dollars and those bills paid for. And ultimately, what we know is that in a much more inefficient way, the American taxpayer and healthcare consumer writ large will be left with the bill there. The only other option there is to deny people access to care and treatment, which will unfortunately mean, like I said earlier, disease progression, the spread of HIV, and people needlessly dying. And one thing that we should have learned from the 80s is that we don't need to go through the loss of another generation of individuals, artists, family members, loved ones, musicians, economists, others, you know, people who are contributing to our society in so many ways. We don't need to lose another generation of those individuals. We have the tools, we have the science to end HIV as an epidemic. What we need is the political will to make the investment that everyone gets access to those resources, those tools, and that science.
Folks, again, that is Bill Keaton. He's the chief advocacy officer at Vivant Health. We're talking about the fact that AIDS care and prevention and treatment has been very effective, especially here in the United States. AIDS no longer a death sentence. People living their full life. With the cuts to the Division of HIV Prevention within the CDC, those positive strides that have been made over the last 40, 50 years are under threat. They may be lost. And here's the thing that Bill just said that I want us to all think about as we take care of a little bit of business here. When it comes to healthcare in this country, we pay for it one way or the other. It comes to us, takes out of your pocketbook one way or the other. The question should be, how do we do it efficiently and effectively? Bill's explaining to us why gutting HIV prevention, treatment, and care here in the United States is not a way to more efficient taxpayer outcomes. It also ain't the moral thing to do. We've got more coming right up. Keep it locked right here. We'll talk about the impacts in Wisconsin that you might feel in your family and neighborhood next, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Our special guest this half hour is Bill Keaton. He's the chief advocacy officer at Vivant Health, which is the second largest provider of HIV prevention, care, and treatment services here in the nation. Bill's helping us all understand what the impacts could be for public health, global health, but also your family's health here in Wisconsin from Donald Trump's proposed $1.3 billion in cuts to the Division of HIV Prevention within the CDC. Bill, let's bring it home for folks here in all senses of the word. What does I would imagine we've got some listeners perhaps up in Rhinelander. They don't know anybody, or maybe they don't know that they know anybody that has tested positive for HIV. And they're wondering, well, what the heck does this mean for me and my family? Bill, what does it mean for Wisconsinites if this draconian cut goes through?
Yeah, great question, Maggie. The reality is that throughout the course of the history of the HIV epidemic in our state, we've had people diagnosed and living with HIV in each one of Wisconsin's 72 counties. So due to a number of reasons, most of which having to do with stigma, that folks who are living with HIV still confront, not a lot of people are necessarily very out about their HIV status. And that's something that we should all respect and expect at some level. For the folks who might be listening in from far northern Wisconsin, I grew up in Eau Claire. I've been doing this work for a long time. I actually did background, and my undergraduate degree was related to HIV treatment. What I would say is this: one of the reasons why HIV doesn't seem to exist in our day-to-day lives the way that maybe it did is because the programs and services that we're offering are effective. And HIV looks different in every community that it's in. In some of our more urban and larger cities, HIV, unfortunately, is a disease that disproportionately impacts communities and people of color. Folks in our LGBT community, especially young trans folks and trans folks of color. But we know that HIV also impacts folks who are using drugs, especially with the prevalence of the opioid epidemic that exists in all corners of our state. We offer prevention programs and services everywhere throughout the state to ensure that folks who might have a loved one who's experiencing drug use, is experiencing opioid use, has access to programs and services that can prevent them and help them stay safe and healthy. And so these prevention dollars go to programs and services that we deliver in partnership with other organizations throughout the state. It's one of the reasons why we've been really successful at limiting the number of new infections in our state over the last several years.
It's important for me to point out, Bill, that Vivint Health itself is a nonprofit, and its sole mission and focus has been to respond to and help fight against the HIV epidemic, not just in our state, but across the country. Again, a nonprofit organization that has always been about this work. And here's the thing, to phrase it differently, Bill, if you are poorer and you have less access to clinics, hospitals, treatment, you are more likely, if you contract AIDS, to die or become very sick because of these kinds of cuts. So we're at this bizarre tipping point, right? And correct me if I get any of this wrong, Bill, where in the state of Wisconsin, again, as Senator Booker may have put it, it's not about right and left anymore. It's about right and wrong, because whether you're in a rural community that is now facing greater and greater challenges to make sure people can access within a reasonable drive the health care that they need, or you are someone who is poor and has trouble accessing healthcare in Milwaukee, these things are presenting grave threats to folks that may not have thought they had all that much in common, or were led to believe that they didn't have so much in common a mere 6 months ago. What should people do, Bill, if they are concerned about these particular cuts, or if they want to find out more?
Great question, Maggie. You know, last week I was in Washington, D.C., and I met with members of Wisconsin's congressional delegation. I think one of the most important things that folks can be doing right now is calling the congressional switchboard, emailing their congressmen, their senators. They're hearing us. It's one of the reasons why the initial rounds of cuts that were proposed hasn't looked as, I can't even believe I'm saying this, as bad as we feared it could be. And so that political pressure is really going to be what keeps HIV at the forefront of our lawmakers' minds as they're considering what they're going to do. Budget reconciliation, which is coming up later this summer, is going to be a huge part of this. Medicaid is the largest single source of health insurance for people living with HIV in our nation. We need to make sure it's protected. Medicare is going to be the largest source of insurance as people living with HIV continue to age, which is a wonderful thing. We should all want people living with HIV to live long, healthy lives. That means at some point they're going to be eligible for Medicare. Making sure that both those programs are strong and in place is going to be one of the most critical things folks can do in the next couple of months.
Thanks so much. That's Bill Keaton, Chief Advocacy Officer at Vivint Health. With our last minute, Bill, I want you to address this to the extent that this is still out there. Folks that think AIDS may still be a disease exclusively in the LGBTQIA plus community. Explain how that is simply not true.
It's just not the case. What we know today is that there are multiple routes of transmission of HIV. One of them is injection drug use, which continues to be a challenge that our communities face. Unfortunately, mother-to-child transmission during childbirth is another aspect. We've been really good on the latter. We have more work to do on the former. We need these resources to keep doing the good work.
My thanks to you, Bill, a Wisconsinite working as the Chief Advocacy Officer at Vivint Health, helping to create healthier communities in Wisconsin and beyond. We're going to be back with Emily Gee of the Center for American Progress Action Fund to talk about the terror of Trump's tariffs right here at home and how it's hitting your pocketbook. Stay locked. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.